Talked about the importance of developing a prayer life. And I shared two themes from a four-part lesson: why do we pray and what do we pray? And we came out of Matthew 6, verse 9 through 12, and I gave you five facts about prayer. We talked about prayer is communication with God. We talked about you should pray to see God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. I taught you that the will of God is already in motion in the heavenlies. And so what we pray here on earth has to line up with what God's will is in heaven. And I taught you, if you do not know what the will of God is in a certain situation, how you pray that. We talked about that you should pray for God to supply us with the things we need, because God is our provider. Although the scriptures teach us that he knows our need before we ask of it, he still wants us to ask of him because it fulfills his role as our provider. And so on our prayer list, we have a list of needs. You follow me? And that list of needs concerns what the will of God is for this church. Then we talked about you should always pray for the forgiveness of yourself and the forgiveness of others. Because you cannot pray the will of God or pray for yourself if you're harboring unforgiveness. Because your prayers will be hindered. Tonight, or this morning, I'm going to teach you especially on how do we pray. And my desire when I finish this teaching is that you have an understanding of how we actually pray, how you communicate to God. From the time you begin your prayer to the time you end your prayer, what should your prayer be mixed with? Amen. And this is the format, this is the model that we pray. Now, Minister-elect have been praying and knowing God for a while now. And when new converts and new believers come into the church, you hear a different type of language. It's a church language, but it's a scriptural language. When he's talking about the favor of God, that's scriptural. But as new converts, you don't know what the favor of God is. Hello. When he talks about faith and decreeing and speaking those things, you don't know what that means. Because nobody's ever taught you what it means to decree a thing or what it means to speak the word of faith. Amen. And so as the leader of this church, I have a responsibility to teach you those things so that when he's praying, it's not foreign to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's my intention today, is to teach you the mechanics of prayer. How do we pray? Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. How should you come? How do we come before the presence of God? We're going to start in 2 Chronicles chapter number 4. We're going to be flipping through a lot of scriptures this morning. So if you don't know where it is, write it down. Or I told you the only time you can cheat in church is to look in the index and find out where the book is located. Don't be ashamed if you don't know. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I've been preaching, pastoring for well over 10 years. Sometimes I still get confused where so-and-so is. Sometimes I'd be joking. I said, where is Hebrews at? I know where it is. It's just, you know, y'all know what I mean, right? So that's what your index is for. All right? So I'm going to share a couple of things with you. How do you come before the presence of God? 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse number 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. I want to stop right there. You must humble yourselves. Humbling yourself means that you recognize that you need God, not God needs you. See, a lot of times when people pray, they think that God needs us, and that's why we're praying. God don't need us, because he's God all by himself. None of us were here when he made the earth, when he put the sun, when he put the stars, when he spoke the waters into existence. None of us were here. Hello. So the reality of it is we need God. And so when we come into His presence, we have to understand that we need to humble ourselves. When you humble yourself, there is an attitude of reverence and honor because you recognize that you're going into the very presence of God and you honor God. God is holy, He's righteous, He's the King, He's supreme in the universe. There is none greater than Him. There is no sickness. The Bible teaches us that there is nothing under heaven, nothing under earth. At the name of Jesus, everything will bow at His name. There is none greater than God. And so when we come into His presence, we need to have a reverence and a respect for Him. Now, I know that we are a relatively young church. And a lot of times when we come in here and we get ready to pray, our minds are on everything but prayer. Teach, Pastor. Help us out. Our minds are on everything but prayer. We're talking about what happened last night. We're talking about what happened on the job. And when you come to church, your mind should be focused on the things of God. You should have an attitude that we're getting ready to go into God's presence and I need to begin to prepare myself. When I'm coming to church, I don't like a whole lot of talking. I don't like a whole lot of phone calls. I don't like a whole lot of silliness and laughing because I understand that I'm getting ready to come into God's presence. And I want you guys to begin to start having that same attitude. Amen. Because when we come in here, it's serious business. Souls are at stake. This church is fighting demonic powers and principalities and things of that nature. And so we got to have a mindset that we're coming in here into the presence of God to pray and to seek His face. It's similar when you come into the presence of a judge or the president. Why am I sounding like this? You got a bad echo. How many of y'all have been to court? Don't be scared now. Praise the Lord. Everybody here been to court. Now, everybody can be talking and laughing and having a good time, but when the bailiff comes out and say, "All rise," everybody stands up and closes their mouth, whether the judge cares about you or not. Why? Because his position causes us to honor him. Anybody here besides myself been in the presence of the president? I've been in the presence of the president, not in a formal kind of way. My military duties brought me into that environment where we were in the presence of the president. And when they say, when the president was coming in, everybody shut their mouth. Everybody stood to their feet and clapped and applauded whether we approved of what he was doing or not. Why? Because he was the president and we respected his position. Well, beloved, even so is the same when we come into church. We're coming into the very presence of God. And so we respect God for who He is. That's why when we come in here, we have to have an attitude that we're coming into His presence. Let us begin to prepare ourselves. Let us begin to get ready to go into the presence of God. Our attitude from now on ought to be when we're getting ready to pray, we honor you, Lord. We humble ourselves before you. Let the walking cease. Let the talking cease as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, and we will implement this when we get into the new building, but you know, it's a disrespect to God when you're walking around and you're talking and you're doing other things when prayer's going on. Because it shows that you have no reverence or you have no respect for the man of God, the woman of God that's praying, and to God Himself. And so when we move into the new building, one of the things we're going to be doing is going down on our knees and praying. Because for some of us, that's the only time we pray. You're right, Pastor. You're talking right at me. But that's okay. If the only time you pray is Sunday and Wednesday for 15 minutes, prayerfully and hopefully that will cause you to start wanting to have an appetite to pray when we're not in church. Amen. And so we'll come in the presence of God. We will kneel. There will only be certain people standing up. Sound man, because he has to work the sound, and some of the security personnel. And their only reason why they're standing up is because when you're down on your knees praying, we don't want nobody going through your purse getting out your offering that you're planning to give in church. Praise the Lord. Somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise for that. A lot of times, everybody that come to church ain't saved. That's right. They wait for opportunities like that where everybody's focused on things spiritual so they can do something in the natural. But wise leaders have people in place and security so that that doesn't happen. So that you can pray and get lost in the presence of God and not have to worry about your purse or your cell phone getting stolen. Let's go to Psalms 24. Verse number 4. How do we come before the presence of God? You'll hear me say this a lot. Verse number 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And so you must come before him with clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, you must be free from sin. So when you come into the presence of God, when we begin our prayer times, you have to recognize that God is holy and there's no sin in him. And you yourself cannot come in here with sin and junk in your life and think that you're going to be able to get a prayer through. Let me talk a little bit about some ways that your prayers will not be heard or your prayers are being hindered. Because a lot of times we think that, and this is point number 3, we should come in without hindrances. But a lot of times we think that because there is a corporate prayer and we are praying, but personally our prayers are not going through because there's some hindrances in our lives. And so I want to share with you about some of these hindrances. Let's go to St. John chapter number 9. Am I doing all right? Verse number 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And so the first hindrance of your prayer is if you are a sinner. That's what the scriptures say. God heareth not sinners. What are sinners? Sinners are people that are continually sinning. You're a habitual sinner. Praise the Lord. Habitual sin means that you're continuing to operate in a lifestyle that's sinful, or you have not confessed your sins to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you're trying to pray. The Bible teaches us that your prayers are hindered because God heareth you not. Now, it does not mean that God does not physically hear you, because God hears everything. But hearing with the intent to answer, that's where the problem comes in. So you could be a sinner in sin. Let's say you're shacking up, you're not married, you're having sex out of marriage, and you're praying to God on a daily basis. God's not hearing your prayers. He hears you, but he's not hearing with the intent to answer. Why? Because your lifestyle reflects sin. And you don't have a relationship. According to the scriptures, he can only respond to you when you're actively doing his will. Hello? He said, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he what? He heareth. So the first prayer that God responds to when you're a sinner is the prayer of repentance, where you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart by faith, forgive your sins, and make a commitment to live for him. Now, Pastor, what about cases where, you know, I was in sin? How many of y'all was in sin and you prayed a prayer and that prayer was answered? But don't be afraid. We all know each other in here. Well, Pastor, you just said God don't hear my prayers. How is that? First of all, two things. First lady said it. God is a merciful God, and his desire is not to kill you. His desire is for you to have a relationship with him, and so he provides mercy on your behalf. The other thing is that it may not have necessarily, it was not your prayer. It could have been the prayer of an intercessor. How many know there was some folk praying for you when you was out doing real crazy junk? I thank God for my mother and my grandmother and the prayer circles and prayer warriors all across the country. When I didn't know God for myself, somebody else was praying for me. I'm riding along in the car and I said, God, please don't let the cop check the clock. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all remember those old Flavor Flav clocks with the big battery packs and you could hide certain things in there? Am I doing all right now? Because some of y'all are looking at me kind of strange. I had some stuff hidden in there that I didn't want the policeman to find. Y'all looking like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Or you're a pastor, we've never done anything like that before in our lives. And you prayed and you asked God, please don't let the policeman search because I'm on probation and I don't want to go back to jail. Hello. And somehow, miraculously, the policeman didn't search. That was not because of your prayer. It was the prayer of intercessors that was interceding on your behalf, folk that you didn't even know, folk that you could care less about whether they lived or died, but God had a purpose and plan for your life. Next way your prayer can be hindered, 1 Peter chapter number 3. Verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So the second way that your prayers can be hindered, if you and your spouse are at odds. So the scripture exclusively addresses the husbands and say, husbands, if you will not dwell with your life as grace together as heirs, then your prayers can be hindered. How many of you, don't be afraid, I've done it. You've prayed and you're trying to pray, you're trying to get a prayer through and it seems like it's a blockage. And there's a blockage because you and your spouse are at odds. And when you and your spouse are at odds, for whatever reason, you're harboring unforgiveness, he's harboring unforgiveness, she didn't cook the beans, she burnt the biscuits, she did this, yada, 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 then it becomes a hindrance. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't intentional. That just kind of slipped out of there. It's a little inside story. But your prayers can be hindered. And so you're sitting up trying to pray and you both are frustrated with each other and you're wondering why God's not answering. Because your prayers are being hindered because the both of you ain't on the same page. You're not on the same wavelength. Now, the third way that your prayers can be hindered, Mark 11, 24 and 26. We'll tell you all that story afterwards so you can find out why John and Jessica were laughing right then. That wasn't intentional. Really, it wasn't. All right. Saint Mark 11, 24 through 26. Therefore, I say unto you that whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So the third way your prayers can be hindered is if you do not forgive. And we taught you this last week. You have to walk in forgiveness. Say that with me. Say, I have to walk. I have to walk in forgiveness. I must forgive my spouse. I must forgive my husband. I must forgive my wife. I must forgive others that have done wrong to me. So you have to walk in forgiveness, church, because it's the right thing to do and God honors forgiveness. God knows when you have forgiven from your heart and he knows whether or not you have. Because from your mouth you can say, I've forgiven Bro Rogers, but truthfully I haven't. You know, my heart still, and I'm just using this as an example, but my heart still is bitter towards you. And I can fool everybody in here and say I've forgiven you, but God in heaven knows my heart. And so if he sees my heart, he knows that my heart is not really forgiven him. And so, bam, my prayers are hindered. So you got to forgive from your heart. You forgive from your heart because God have forgiven you. Amen. And God says, look, there ain't nothing that anybody, I know that's bad grammar, but there is nothing that nobody can do to you that you cannot forgive. Because what I did through my son paid the eternal sacrifice for you, and you don't have the audacity to hold anything against anybody. And that's how God looks at that. So if you have unanswered prayers, church, in other words, your prayers are going no farther than the ceiling, then it's time to check yourself and see if you're humbling yourself, seeing if your heart and hands are clean. Hello? Seeing if you and your spouse are at odds or if you're not walking in forgiveness. And so you'll see as we begin these prayers that as the ministers pray or whatever, we will begin to ask God to forgive us for anything that we've said or done. We will humble ourselves so that corporately the prayers of this church can go through. Amen. Am I doing all right? All right, now we're going to talk about beginning the prayer. You've gotten into the mechanics of the prayer. How do you begin? St. John chapter number 16. Verse number 23. And in that day, St. John 16, 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hereunto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. That's what I'm doing today. And at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because he have loved me, and have believed that I have believed that I came out from God. So you begin your prayer in Jesus' name. And so you begin to understand now when we pray, whoever mounts the pulpit, why we say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Or in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We do that not out of tradition, but because the scriptures teach us that. And so you begin your prayer in Jesus' name. And I taught you last week that you just don't jump out and start asking God anything. You need to begin to romance him and offer up thanksgiving and praise. So there may be a portion where the minister or whoever's praying, there's just a period of thanksgiving and adoration to God. All right? Now, we pray in Jesus' name because the scriptures teach us whatsoever we ask the Father in Jesus' name, he'll give it to us. And so we no longer pray directly to God, because Jesus have become our intercessor. When he died on the cross, the scripture teaches us, write this down in your notes for reference, Romans 8 and 34, that now he's on the right hand of God making intercession. And so he's sitting in heaven, the Father is on the throne, Jesus is on the right hand of him, and we are praying, we pray in Jesus' name, we're speaking to Jesus, and everything we say to Jesus, he is communicating our intentions to God. Am I doing all right? I feel like I am. And so God takes our requests, and Jesus says when we do that, he'll give us whatever we ask of him. And so you see a lot of answered prayers in the body of Christ and in this church especially, because we're praying the model that Jesus has given us. So you begin your prayer in Jesus' name. Number two, you must learn to decree. Let's go to Job 22 and 28. Again, I know I have a lot of scriptures, but, you know, write them down or turn to them as I read. Look at this. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be what? I don't have no help here. Thou shalt, y'all not at Job 22 and 28. Help me, spiritual leaders. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be what? Established unto thee. And thy light shall shine upon thy ways. And so when you begin to decree something, you are establishing what you want God to do. Now, Pastor, what's a decree? A decree in ancient times, kings made decrees. And when the king made a decree, it was a formal order determining what is to be or what is not to be done. And so if the king says at 5 o'clock, I want everybody in their homes, no question asked, that was a decree. And it was done, why? Because the king decreed it, and he was the king. Well, God have made us kings and priests. Y'all listening to me? And so he's given us the power on earth to decree things. And so we have to begin to decree what we want established. Amen. And so what do we want established, church? We want a prosperous ministry. Praise the Lord. We want to be doing mission work all over the country. Praise the Lord. We want to have a building where we can go into this building and do the work of the church more effectively. We want to have a good turnout of members. We want spiritual growth. And so we begin to decree those things in prayer. So you understand why the minister, why myself, my wife, or who's ever praying, why we begin to decree things as we're praying our prayers, because we want them established. And that should be a part of your personal prayer life. If you're having trouble in your marriage, I decree that my marriage is blessed. Hello. Because I'm a child of the king. If you're having trouble in your finances, I decree that my finances are blessed. Because the Bible says when I decree it, it shall be established. So you decree. There's the power of the decree. You learn to decree it over and over. The more you decree it, the more it shall be established. You've got to keep speaking and decreeing and watch God bring it to pass. Why? Because as I have taught you before, life and death are in the power of your tongue. So what you speak out of your mouth, church, is either life or it's either death. So if your tongue has the mere power to speak life or death, then I would start speaking life instead of death. And I would start decreeing some good things over my personal life versus negative stuff. Number three, pray for favor. Turn back forward to Psalms 5 and 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and thou will compass him as with a shield. Pastor, what is favor? You hear us talking about favor all the time in this church, but some of y'all don't know what it is. What is this thing called favor that y'all say all the time and that you decree? Favor is God's preference for you. It's his delight, his goodwill, his kindness, his pleasure towards you in spite of. You do not deserve it, but God gives it to it because he loved you. So a lot of times God will give you what's called favor, and favor is more valuable than money.
Yes, it is.
Because if you don't have money, you have favor, and favor can bring you money.
Right.
I'm doing real good right now. You don't have the means that's needed, but you have favor, and the favor that God gives you will bring you what you need.
Right.
We're talking to bankers, we're talking to people that are going to help this church move into its destiny. We don't per se have all the resources that other people may have, but we have favor. And favor takes us into places and positions that you would not normally go. But when you're preferred of God, you have favor resting on your life.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And so this church has been given favor. Let me give you an example. We put these chairs. And the guy said to me, I said, well, sir, how about I just write you a check for an amount? We're going to make a deposit. I'm not going to give you numbers. And we just take all the chairs. He said, I can't do that, Pastor. He said, I'm already letting them go. He said, I tell you what, though. He said, for you, I'll do them for seven. Everybody else that bought chairs from this particular establishment did it for 10. I said, everybody else that bought chairs from the establishment did it for 10. We got them for seven. That's an example of favor. Because it's preferred because God prefers you. Anybody else that walks in there, the price tag is $10. But you walk in there, the price tag is seven. Now, favor also, it attaches itself to people that are connected with favor. And so as the favor of God is upon our lives, upon this church, guess where the favor of God is in your lives? It's also on yours too. Because what's on the head is on the body. And so you'll go to places and you'll get preferred treatment. Because people say, you know what, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just like your smile. It's just something about you. And you just, you know, you just go ahead and take this so-and-so, come back and see us in 30 days. That's the favor of God. And so we've seen the favor of God in operation. I remember when we bought the equipment. The equipment, was the price tag, when they got finished ringing up everything, was $3,400 for all this equipment, drums, all the stuff we bought months ago. It was $3,400 and some change. And he said, Pastor, I'm not finished. I got some discounts I'm going to add in there. And so when he finished with the discounts, we was way under 26. That's the favor of God. How do you know that's favor? Because everybody else that goes in that store pays retail price. If this says $75, then that's what you pay. But we walk in there with the favor of God. And it may say $75, but for us, it's $59.99. Favor of God. And so that's what we're praying, the favor of God to be on the church, the favor of God to be upon your lives. Finally, number four. Close with faith. Matthew 9. We're going to stop here for today. I'm doing real good. Y'all getting out before 12 o'clock. Y'all like that, don't you? I ought to take up another offering. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. Matthew 9, verse 27 through 30. Listen to this. And when Jesus departed from thence, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Well, you know, Lord, I've been blind for 5 years. I'm not really sure if I'm in line for a miracle. Well, Lord, you know, my great-granddaddy had cataracts, and it seemed to be the whole family is affected by this. They said, Yes, Lord. And the Bible say, he touched their eyes, saying unto them, According to what? According to what? According to what? Your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open. And so you got to close with faith. Church, you've got to believe. You think that, you know, because I see empty seats, that don't mean I don't believe God. That's evidence that God's going to do what I'm praying.
That's right.
But I believe that. Amen. You have to believe that. And a lot of times your prayer answers are according to your faith. It's based upon what you believe. Let me give you an example. You're going to get married soon. I'm just using this as an example. But you believe in God for a place to stay. And you see a nice apartment complex with a pool, a spa, all the amenities, and that's where you want to stay. And you believe God that he'll put you there. You're not making enough money. You know, you may not be able to get in there because of A, B, C, and D. They may not even have any spaces available. But you believe in God.
That's right.
And so according to your faith, it's done unto you. And you go down there and you put in an application. They say, sir, I'm sorry, we don't have any apartments available. But you say, this is what I want, and I'm believing God for it. And I'm just going to fill out this application, and you just run it, and you just sit it on your desk, and if something happens or something comes available, then give me a call. She said, well, I'll do that, but we don't have any vacancies for the next 12 months. But you believe God. 2 weeks go past, and the lady call you and say, I just had somebody move out the apartment that gave me 30 days notice. Mr. Petrowski, do you want it? Yes or no? It was done, why? According to your faith. Now, on the other hand, I'm believing God for a house in Smithfield.
Yes, sir.
At least $250,000 home. That's where my faith is. Do you have the financial backing to be in a house like that? Not right now. No, I don't. Do you have what it takes to maintain it from month to month? Not right now. No, I don't. But I got faith. And I believe God. And somehow or some way, he's going to open up the door that me and my wife and my four cherises are going to get over there. And the dog, Buster.
Yes.
Why? Because it's according to my faith.
That's right.
And God said, according to your faith, what? Be it unto you. And so when you pray, when we pray, you got to mix faith in that thing and belief in God. So you could be here and Rogers can be praying and you just here sleeping on the bench and ain't nothing going to happen if you don't have no faith.
That's right.
Because it's according to your faith. Now, I want to close with this. I want you to look at your personal life. And I want to ask you where your faith is. Will you believe in God for? Will you believe in God for? What do you believe in God for? Will you believe in God for? What do you believe in God for? What y'all believe in God for? What y'all believe in God for? What are you believing him for? And what are you believing him for? What are you believing him for? What are you believing him for? Because it's going to happen according to your faith. You may not see it. You may not understand it. You may not have the resources, but if you believe God and it's in his will, God will perform it. Why? Because it's according to faith. I'll tell the story probably for the rest of my life. We started this church. My wife and I had nothing. Nothing. We had faith, though. Took our tithe. But still got a tithe. Praise the Lord. Even though you're in transition, you still need to tithe. So we were in transition. Lord said, take 90 days, start the church. We just put our tithe away, got us a little money order. I kept it right here in my back pocket. And I said, God, if we're going to start this church, you got to open up the door. And when we started this church, we had just enough money to get in here and rent it for the first service. According to our faith. Well, Pastor, it seemed like you got some help and some people came and we ain't looked back since. Sure, we've lost some people and things haven't gone out like we was, but you know what? God is our source.
Yes.
He will always be our source.
That's
right. He'll use people, but God is the number one source. If he got to bring a drunk in here to pay the rent, then that's what God will do. Because we're walking in his plan. We're walking in his purpose. I'll tell you another story. I got about 5 minutes. What door is this? Second door. Thank you for counting. I'm between 2 and 5. Y'all know what? We were praying for a building. I'm telling you, I had no intentions of getting a building. I thought we were supposed to stay here till January, at least. But we were praying. And everybody, to the best of my knowledge, had faith. And we was looking. That one wouldn't work. That one wouldn't work. And lo and behold, God opened up a door. And when God opened up the door, we didn't have the finances we needed to get in there. But we had faith. And according to our faith, guess what? God performed it. We sent off the monies that was needed to get in the property. But we didn't have it when we first started believing. Do y'all understand what I'm trying to teach you? You may not have it. It may not be in your disposal. It may not be in your reach. All that don't matter as long as you got faith in God. He will perform it. He will see you through it because you believe in him. Come on and stand to your feet. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's just bless the Lord for a few moments. Let's honor the Lord. We thank you. Go ahead and bring up our track there. Father, in Jesus.